I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. We are now going to let our bloggers weigh in on the whole political race, Barack Obama's candidacy, and the Latino vote. We're also going to talk about Hillary Clinton's endorsement. Today, we've got political blogger Jasmine Canick of jasminecanick.com, Shay Riley, who blogs at bookerrising.blogspot.com, and Sharon Toomer, founder and managing editor of blackandbrownnews.com. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello. Hello.
So, Sharon, let me start with you. You have African-American and Dominican heritage, and Dominican-Americans don't always see eye to eye with Puerto Rican-Americans, who are culturally different from Mexican-Americans, and so on and so on and so on. So when you talk about, you know, coming out of our conversation about Latinos, I mean, can we even generalize about how Obama is going to approach different Latino groups?
No, you can't generalize. And yes, es muy complicado. I have some intel for you. I was with my Dominican family this weekend in El Bronx. And there seems to be a different, from what I'm hearing across the country, they're big Obama supporters. They haven't always been, but they're first and foremost Democrats. So that's what they're leaning towards, and they're very happy to put their weight behind him now that Hillary's out of the race. So I believe we do have a different experience here, at least in New York. And yes, I concur. There are some, you know, we all talk about each other when the other's not in the room. So, you know.
Don't we all?
But politically, I believe that Latinos, at least here in the Northeast, I'm not sure about Union City where there's a big Cuban community, but Dominicans and Puerto Ricans are firmly behind Barack now that Hillary is out.
Jasmine, what are you seeing in Los Angeles?
Oh, everyone's happy where I'm from. We had a huge rally on Friday in support of his nomination. But I think at its most basic level, it just comes down to what's your party affiliation and what are those important issues that matter to you. So regardless of the fact, you know, whether or not you were supporting Hillary pre, you know, June 3rd, now that we are clear, we have cleared the field, we know who the two who the two folks running are going to be, you know, I think everyone just needs to be real about it. Like, if you have a problem with gas, the cost of gas, mm-hmm. and the cost of food and all of those other things, if those issues are important to you, then you need to support the candidate who you feel is going to be able to regulate that and bring about some change. I think for me personally, I've always been a Barack Obama supporter from the beginning, but had Hillary beaten him and became the nominee, I would have followed suit in terms of what my economic interests are, what's important to me. You know, I wouldn't have let the fact that I don't particularly care for her get in the way of that, because I am, at least for right now, a Democrat.
And Shay, you know, the latest census shows that there's almost 800,000 Latinos in the Chicago area, and most of them have Mexican heritage. What's mm-hmm. the relationship, you know, in Chicago, Chicagoland, as they call it, between blacks and Latinos?
I mean, well, you know, there's always some tensions, but I don't think it certainly isn't as pronounced as in Los Angeles, for instance. Mm-hmm. And because this is Obama's hometown, you know, people are very proud of his, you know, historic achievement, regardless of party affiliation. We like to see our Chi-town person get in there. And I think that Obama's task is to stay on top of the Hispanic vote, especially in those key battleground states like Florida and New Mexico, you know, and address issues of concern to Latino voters. And in particular, you know, maybe target some of the younger Hispanic voters with his Si Se Puede or Yes We Can message. I do have some Mexican relatives uh-huh. as well, and make that message appealing.
Now, for all of you, you know, and actually, Jasmine, you kind of answered this already. You talked about economic issues and economic interest. And so there's a couple of different things that happen when people look at politics. One is, do I vibe with the person, the candidate, the style? sometimes race, gender comes into it. And the other part is, what are my set of interests? And so I guess, Sharon, first, do you feel that the interest of, you know, because you're in New York, let's say the Dominican American and Puerto Rican American communities falls in line with the messaging coming out of the Obama campaign and or the McCain campaign?
I do. I think that, well, with Obama, what people are concerned about most, and this is across the board, are rising gas prices, the cost of milk here is skyrocketed, and then you have the immigrant population who are very concerned. Some are really scared, and they, you know, I have one family member who really had considered or really wanted Hillary to win because Hillary promised within the first 100 days that immigrants who were here illegally, she'd, you know, fix that. Whether that's real or perceived or whatever, what she believed is that she would be okay. So there's a fear. There's a lot of fear. So the immigration issue is huge. Because in New York, we do have a lot of immigrants, whether they're Dominican, Mexican, Central American, from the Caribbean. There are a lot of immigrants here. So just like everyone else, gas prices affect Latinos, and those are the issues that that they're concerned about.
What are you seeing, Shay, in terms of, I mean, is it economy, or are there other things that are coming up?
From what I've seen, certainly the economy, but I think that the task for, you know, John McCain, if he's going to, address this versus Obama, is to point out that, for instance, the reason why we have such high gas prices is that, one, there's so very little drilling in the United States because of various regulations that prevent us from drilling for our own oil, and two, what I would call big government greed, because even the oil profits that oil companies make pale in comparison to the profits that big government makes. It's about 6 times as much. So that's maybe something he can use to appeal to Hispanic, you know, voters as well, and something that makes, conservatives absolutely upset with McCain, which is on amnesty for illegal immigrants, ironically, is what will help him, or maybe will help him, with Hispanic voters.
All right. I want to make sure that anybody who's just tuning in knows what we're up to. This is NPR's News and Notes. I am Farai Chidea, and we've got three folks on today's Bloggers Roundtable. We were just hearing from Shay Riley, who writes at bookerrising.blogspot.com, political commentator Jasmine Canik of jasminecanik.com, and Sharon Toomer, founder and managing editor of blackandbrownnews.com. And so we're just talking a little bit about the economy, and Jasmine, let's crunch into this a little bit. According to new unemployment numbers released on Friday, the economy lost 49,000 jobs in May. That means the unemployment rate rose 0.5 point to 5.5%. That was the biggest monthly increase since 1986. Now, African Americans were hit the hardest. Numbers leapt last month to 9.7%. Latino unemployment stayed the same at 6.9%. And, you know, how are people in your view as a political commentator based in Los Angeles dealing with this situation?
You know, I think one of the things that I will start off saying is that this election has galvanized and increased the participation of people who normally were never interested in politics. A lot of that has to do with the candidates, and it also has to do with the state of the economy. So when you talk about unemployment, and you talk about the higher gas prices and higher food, people care, and people are paying attention, and they're getting involved. And so what I see is people who traditionally, that I know, normally never get involved in politics, don't volunteer on campaigns. They feel like the only way that they're going to get some relief is by getting, you know, their candidate in office, and so they're willing to do whatever they can do to do that. So, you know, I feel, you know, when we talk about the different races and the different issues, it all comes down to bread and butter issues. It's, can I pay my rent, my mortgage? Can I put food on the table? Can I put gas on my gas tank? And do I have a job to go to? Across the board, all races, that is what matters, and that's what we need to stay focused on. We cannot allow ourselves to get sidetracked on, you know, these issues, because the Republicans are going to try to use, you know, the fear of, you know, moral issues at the polls. They, you know, they try to do the whole hysteria with moral issues, and we cannot be divided, because what I do in my bedroom isn't going to affect you. But, you know, who we elect as president may affect whether or not you can put food on your table. And we got to stay focused on that going into November.
Sharon, though, sometimes when people are in the middle of tough times, politics seems extraneous. You know, it's kind of like the difference between if you really are broke and you need milk and you need to pay down your credit cards, you might just use your credit card to buy the milk. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people look at politics as that, you know, that credit card bill that we just put it off. I don't need to deal with this right now. I've got other things to deal with. Do you think at this moment people who particularly are facing some of the worst of this economy are really plugged into politics?
I do think so. Also, I forget whether it was Shay or Jasmine who said that there's definitely, I think it was Jasmine, that there's just been a real interest from people who are really apolitical. But these are really tough times. I don't know. I'm sure you all know that. You read all the wires. You read all the newspapers say that. But they're, from a very basic human level, they're tough times. You know, I feel I'm very fortunate, very blessed. But, I mean, I feel like I'm back in college. I put $3 in the tank. You know, it's never filling up. I live in a city where I can take public transportation. There are people who can't. And I think that will influence, meaning they live in areas where there isn't public transportation. And I think that will influence who is sending a message that this will change once they're in office.
Shay, how are things in Chicagoland?
Well, for me, they're, you know, normal. And I hate to be the minority on here, so to speak. But first of all, we're technically not in a recession yet. Just want to point that out. And even though the economy is certainly not optimal, I would certainly agree with that. 90% of homeowners are paying their mortgage on time. We've got inflation that's lower than it was in 1992 or even in 1980. I don't see the gas lines that I recall seeing when I was a youngster back in the late 70s. And even the other barometer, my own personal barometer, the black poverty rate, while it's about 26 or 27%, it's still lower than it was even in 1992. So what I'm trying to say is that, sure, it's tough, but we've seen far worse times in recent decades, and it's certainly nowhere near like the Great Depression, which, you know, people keep making it sound like it's the Great Depression. I can't help but think that these so-called doom and gloom stories are to help get big government liberals elected, when it's us, you know, we are in control of our life. We cannot wait for government to do that for us.
Now, Jasmine, given kind of the interrelationship between African Americans and, you know, disproportionate number of people still, despite some, you know, drop in the military, working for the government, what do you think of these times? Do you think it's a question of, oh, just, you know, politicians trying to cover themselves? Or is there a real interest or burden that the African-American community has in terms of how the economy is going and our relationship to government?
I mean, we're suffering. African-Americans, blacks are suffering just like everyone else. You know, for me, this is the Great Depression. OK, I look around my neighborhood and it is worse than I've ever seen it. We are interested. We are invested in this campaign because we see this as hopefully bringing an end to the situation that we're in right now. You know, the only thing that I could really say on that is what I said earlier, which is that I've seen young brothers and young sisters who have never been involved in politics, never even cared, paid attention, didn't even know who their council person was, let alone, you know, who represented them in Congress, now paying attention and getting involved and invested because they, too, are feeling the effects of what's going on in the economy. But one point that I didn't make that I wanted to make earlier on the immigration issue was that I'm, you know, ecstatic that Hillary Clinton had so many Latino supporters. But, you know, we have to also remember that, you know, Senator Barack Obama is a descendant of an immigrant, okay? I think he is also quite capable of recognizing and understanding the issues that immigrants in America are dealing with. And I wouldn't discount him on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to go into a speed round. This is something that's in some ways a little bit lighter, but still on the economic side. There's a bunch of celebrities, from Michael Jackson to Evander Holyfield, Ed McMahon, Marion Jones, the former Olympic gold medalist, Jose Canseco. They're all having houses that are up for foreclosure. And so I think one thing that happens a lot in our country is that, you know, we think, well, if I just made more money, everything would be okay. Is this really, Sharon, putting the lie to that? Because we're talking about, you know, Michael Jackson owing $23.5 million on a house, or, you know, a 109-room mansion for Evander Holyfield now possibly on the block. Should this be a cautionary tale for everyone?
Well, I don't think their problem is the subprime issue and why they're facing foreclosures. You know, Michael Jackson, we've been hearing about his money woes for a while now. So somehow I think he'll work it out. And I think, McMahon will get a bailout, a rent party or something to help him.
A rent party.
I mean, that's what it, now Jose Canseco and Marion Jones, it's just a perfect storm of new money, legal obligations like alimony, child support, some criminal stuff. And just living beyond your means. Maybe because I don't make that much money, I don't understand how this happens. How you can be so wealthy, make all of this money. I do understand, but you know, I don't get how you're in foreclosure and you rake in millions unless you have a lot of legal bills. And I don't know if Jose did, but I definitely know Mary and Jones had some really bad legal problems. So just think it's living beyond your means and not spending wisely and not being, you know, prudent.
All right. Well, we're actually going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jasmine Canik is a political commentator who blogs at jasminecanik.com. She joined me here at our NPR West studios in Culver City, California. Sharon Toomer is the founder and managing editor of blackandbrownnews.com. She was at NPR studios in New York City. And Shay Riley blogs at bookerrising.blogspot.com. And she joined us from WBEZ in Chicago.